Or, plus, download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching now. Newsmax has become one of America's biggest news networks, as Americans like you switch to a trusted news source. Every weeknight, watch great shows with Grant Stitchfield, Greg Kelly, Cortez and Pellegrino, Rob Schmidt, and a lot more. Newsmax is real news. Watch it.
Taliban fighters in Afghanistan have captured another strategic target as the terrorists continue their advances across the country. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, John Clemens has more on the story.
The flag of Afghanistan was ripped from the pole at the main border crossing with Pakistan as Afghan forces fled or surrendered. Instead, the Taliban's white flag with a black Quranic verse was flying in its place. Former Admiral John Kirby, now the Pentagon spokesman, said Afghan forces continue to receive U.S. support.
They have the advantages. They have better capabilities than the Taliban in the air and on the ground. And they are certainly going to continue to have American support financially, logistically, and through assistance and maintenance.
President Biden set to host German Chancellor Angela Merkel at the White House for an official working visit and joint press conference. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The North Carolina state legislator is considering a bill that would ban the teaching of critical race theory, an analytical framework that puts more emphasis on how race impacts American history and law. From public schools in the state, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson tells Fox News this isn't an attempt to avoid discussion on slavery and other Jim Crow laws.
As an educator, I want to teach children about everything that's happened in our nation, the good, the bad, the ugly, and all aspects of it. What I don't want to do is impart my own opinion on them, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that these kids and the teachers are not being pressured to follow any ideology.
Many experts point out critical race theory is a college-level framework and isn't taught to elementary school students. A controversial horse trainer is back in the game in the Empire State.
A federal judge in New York lifted embattled horse trainer Bob Baffert's suspension in the state, calling it unconstitutional. Baffert had been suspended after his Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit failed a post-derby drug test. Baffert and his horses were suspended from participating in any sanctioned racing by the New York Racing Association. In her ruling, Judge Carol Bagley Amon wrote that Baffert had not been given a prompt hearing to defend himself against the doping charges and concluded that Baffert would likely be able to prove that the actions violated the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Dan Araki from the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau with that report. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And I'm Jim Gano, and welcome everybody to another edition of Taking Care of Business as we get together every Thursday at this time to talk about issues that affect businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. We've got a lot to talk about today as we get ready for a little bit of an interruption in our regular programming over the next couple of weeks. I'll get right into that in just a few minutes, but for right now, it's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Once again, welcome everybody to another edition of Taking Care of Business. And again, we get together every Thursday at this time to talk about issues that affect businesses, both large and small, here in Flemington and in the state of New Jersey, as well as on the national scene as well. And always like to bring information and content to you that I think would be helpful to small business owners. We talk about a lot of things on this program. We talk a little politics. We talk a little sports. We talk a little business. And this program is designed for you. So I always tell people, if there's ever, you know, a question or something that's bothering you about your business, send me an email, shoot me a text, however you want to connect with me, carrier pigeon, skyplane writing, and let me know what it is that you want to discuss, and then I'll do the research on it and bring it back to the program. Now, if you're in business, you want to sell, and of course, I want to sell. So what do I want to sell? I want to sell you a copy of my book, The Player, which is on sale now at Amazon.com, getting great reviews, selling very well. Have two studios interested in creating the screenplay for that. So that's what I'll be doing over the next several weeks. Now, why do you say, do you suddenly have all this time on your hands, Jim? Well, tomorrow, a little nervous about this, tomorrow I will be heading up to Morristown Hospital bright and early in the morning and having knee replacement surgery, which I have postponed for about 7 or 8 years, and it's time to do something about it. So we are heading up to Morristown, and we'll be having the right knee replaced, and then physical therapy starts in the home the next day, and then physical therapy will continue through ProCare physical therapy down in Bridgewater with the excellent team they have down there, and hopefully be back in my office in about my target is a month to 6 weeks. We'll see what the doctor says. We'll see what the knee says and how it responds. But as far as the program, Taking Care of Business, I talked to Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce President Chris Phelan the other day, and what we've agreed to do is, like I did last year, using the program StreamYard, I will be recording my program on Thursday mornings and then sending the link to Chris, and then he can upload it to our website and to the Facebook feed, and this way everybody will be able to get it there. So a couple options for you. You can listen to it at its regularly scheduled time at 1 o'clock on Hunterdon Chamber Radio or WHCRDB. You can go to the Chamber's Facebook page, the Chamber Radio Facebook page, and catch it there. And then you can also, it'll be available on my pages, either on Facebook at Jim Ganeau or on Facebook at the Taking Care of Business show page. So there's a number of ways we'll be able to stay in touch. And I'll give you updates on my progress as far as the healing. It's amazing how many people that when you tell them, oh, I'm having knee surgery, how many people, or knee replacement surgery, that how many people either have had the procedure done, know someone who's had the procedure done, is married to someone who's had the procedure done. And so I polled them, you know, like any good investigative journalist, I polled them and I want to know what was the recovery time. And it ranges anywhere from I was driving in 3 weeks to a gentleman that my wife spoke to the other day who said he couldn't drive for 2 months. It really depends, I think, on the individual. And, you know, we'll keep working as hard as we possibly can. You know, one person gave me some great advice, which is kind of what I've always told myself and followed when I've been injured in the past, and that is that I'm going to outwork everybody. So if you tell me to do 10 reps, I'm probably going to do 15. If you tell me to do it 3 times, I'm probably going to do it 4. Not to hurt myself, but to come back stronger and hopefully quicker through the recovery process. So again, hopefully next week, unless the drugs take over, because that is against FCC rules, I will be on the air with another edition of Taking Care of Business. The cool thing about StreamYard is that I'm able to include graphics. I'm able to include videos, I believe. You know, so like if I want to make a point and it involves like a PowerPoint slide, I can incorporate that into it as well. So that's one of the reasons why I like that platform for shows like this. So you know, it'll be interesting to see how we navigate the waters over the next couple of weeks, and then obviously there's no place like home, so I can't wait to come back here to the studio in a couple of weeks, a couple of months, whatever, and get back to the program with you. So we'll look forward to that. I do want to thank everybody who's already wished me luck told me I'll do great, and hopefully we'll be doing that. I pretty much it's to the point where I just can't wait for it to be over. I'll work on the rehab part, but the nerves are starting to get to me, and we're less than 18 hours away from the surgery starting. So, I always get a little nervous, but now it's really hitting home that this is actually going to happen. So enough about me. Let's talk about you. And that is the one question that I got from a woman the other day. We were talking about business, and she was kind of stuck. And she said, I know how to run my business. What I don't know, and this is a very successful businesswoman, by the way. And so what she said was, I know how to run my business, but since COVID, I don't know how to run my business. And I was like, well, what exactly does that mean? She goes, well, prior to COVID, when things were cranking, I knew what had to get done, when it had to get done, and who was going to be responsible for what. She goes, now it just seems like orders come in and, we're scrambling. We're not organized and things like that. And I said, well, have you created any metrics or goals or something that people can follow to get the job done? And she goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, all right. She described her work. I said, so this is something that has a project timeline. It might be a couple of days, could be a month, could be a couple of weeks. I said, are you giving your staff goals to reach hourly, daily, weekly, so that they can stay on track? So let's say you have to assemble 100, we'll say, watches or clocks. And we know that it takes 20 minutes to assemble every clock. Well, okay, so at that rate, how many clocks can be built in an hour? 3. How many can be built in a day? Maybe 24. How long would it take to build 100? About 4.5 days. I said, are you telling your staff what you want done and when? And she said, no. I said, did you used to tell your staff what you want done? And she goes, oh, all the time. They had timelines, deadlines, and we always made them or we beat them. And I said, so what changed? And she goes, well, COVID changed. I said, understood. But we're back. We're in the workspace, and you're fully staffed. Why would this procedure change just because you were interrupted for 16 to 17 months? And she goes, I don't know. So what I told her to do was to set specific goals to improve her business success. And that was on the production side. But there's always one change you can make to increase your success dramatically, and that's to learn about goal setting. And to use specific goals in all of your business planning, whether it's production, whether it's sales, whether it's marketing, whether it's inventory, even collections. One of the worst things I think a business owner has to do is pick up the phone and call a customer and say, hey, by the way, you owe me $4,000 for the material you picked up back in May. When will I be able to see that check? But if you make goals and you were to say to yourself, I want to make collection calls. I'm going to make 10 collection calls a day. When do you want to do that? Do you want to do it first thing in the morning? Do you want to do it after lunch? Do you want to do it before you leave at the end of the day? If you follow the advice of Mark Twain, who said, and I think I mentioned this in a previous show, eat the live frog first. And what he had said, that's taking one sentence out of the quote, but basically is that if you're told to eat a live frog, do it first thing in the morning, and then everything else you have to do that day will be much easier. And it's the same thing in business. If you have something that's going to bother you or going to wear on you, and you're just not doing it because you're putting it off, hoping it'll go away, eat the live frog first. Make those collection calls first. So you need to learn about goal setting and how to use them in your planning. Goals have to be specific. If we have any chance of accomplishing them, they have to be specific and set us up for success rather than failure. So how do you set specific goals? Well, a success goal is a specific goal. And what I mean by that is it's a goal that incorporates an action plan outlining how you will achieve the goal, and a performance measurable that tells you whether you were successful or not. So if you were to say, and I always kind of use weight loss with this, there's a lot of people who in the beginning of the year will say, well, I want to lose weight, but they don't say how much. They just say, I want to lose weight. Well, if you lose 1 pound, have you achieved your goal? But if you made it specific and you said, I want to lose 20 pounds, now you have something to work toward. And if you get to 20 pounds lost, that's a success. But what if it took you 4 years to lose 20 pounds? What if you change that goal to, I want to lose 20 pounds by May 31st of this year, and it's January 1st. Now you have a short window, basically 6 months, in which to, or 5 months, to achieve that goal. So the goal setting formula that I will ensure for you setting a specific goal is, I will, then name your goal, plus the performance measurable, and by when. So it's I will, you set your goal, you set your performance, and then you set a specific date. The performance measure in the goal is often a date or a length of time, but it could be any objective criteria that you can use to determine whether or not you've accomplished the specific goal that you've set. In business, a lot of times we talk about, I want to increase sales. Well, that's great, but are we talking about by a percentage? Are we talking about by a specific dollar amount? What does that mean? Or are we talking about bringing in 10 new accounts? So if you were to say, I want to increase sales by 15%, that's measurable. Where are you at every month? Where are you at the end of the quarter, at the half year, at the three-quarter mark, and at the full year mark? If you were to say, I want to increase sales by $100,000, same thing. You know, if you compare January of this year to January of last year, are you ahead or behind? And how do you need to adjust in order to, you know, stay on track? So, again, if you were to say, I want to lose weight, then the goal should say, I will lose 10 pounds in 2 months by running on a treadmill for half an hour, 6 days a week. So that's your plan. That's what the action you're going to take, and your goal is to lose the 10 pounds in 2 months. So the same applies for business success. But before you can set specific goals designed to increase your business success, you need to know what you mean by success. So success means enjoying what you do to the point that your work energizes you and creates happiness that spills over to your personal life. But what does increased business success mean to you? Perhaps it's to start a home-based business to improve your work-life balance and to have more time to spend with your family, or having more energy to tackle your many tasks. Is it becoming more professional and developing more confidence so you can sell your product or service more successfully or try something new? Or is it making your business more environmentally friendly or improving your customer service? Again, your definition of success is going to be different from the person sitting next to you. So how do you define success? and I'm going to give you some examples of specific goals towards success in a second. But one of the things that you need to look at is, don't measure your success on anybody else's criteria. If you said that, you know, increasing sales by 100,000 would be a successful goal achievement for this year, great. But if you were to tell a group of people, well, I want to increase my sales by 100,000, and somebody scoffed you off and said, why not 250? Why not 500? That may be what they're looking at as the definition of success. So how do you define success? That's important. So before you can set specific goals designed to increase your business success, you need to know what you mean by it. So, and again, perhaps it's, increasing any part of your business. But I like the one line in there earlier that said, if you're happy when you go to work, if you're energized when you go to work, that's not really work. If you look around your office, if you look around your sales team, and there's always that one person that's kind of like trotting in and, you know, always complaining, oh, this day is taking so long, they don't really have goals. They don't have that definition of success for them. And so maybe helping them set up some goals for success will re-energize them. I was out to dinner last night, and I want to talk about this because it's important as we talk about staffing. And I said the difference sometimes between success and not is the person who goes to work, has goals and achieves them, versus the person who just shows up, mails it in, and leaves every 2 weeks with his paycheck. So you want to make sure that you're actually there, you know, to do well. So here are some examples of setting specific goals for success. Depending on what the purpose of your goal-setting exercise is, you might decide to set specific goals such as to improve your work-life balance. 1 month from now, I will spend entire weekends with my family by reorganizing my work schedule and learning how to delegate. That's a nice goal. To get a small business loan to start your business, I will develop enough confidence to present my business plan to the bank by faithfully completing every assignment in the business success program. If you want to actively promote your business, I will implement some low-cost ways of promoting my business, including creating a social media plan. To improve small business bottom line and make more money, I will cut my business costs by 10% this quarter. All great plans, again, all have to be tailored to your definition of success. No one else's. The only person that matters in this is your definition of success. The only time that changes is when you're being measured on your performance. So if your boss is going to rate your performance, then they're going to probably set their own goals for you. Now you have to achieve those goals. And what I used to always say is I will achieve and defeat, meaning I will get to that level and do more. So you may say you want to do 100,000 in sales this year. They may say, we really want you to do 150. At the end of the day, if you reach the 100,000, have you succeeded or have you failed in their eyes? So again, looking to increase your performance to meet their standards as well as your own is important. Want to say hello to Barbie, who's watching. Long time no see. Love you, girlfriend. And hopefully you're getting a little bit out of this program as well. Good to see you pop up on my screen. Haven't talked to you in a long time. Some goal setting tips. And this is where a lot of people fall short, because as I talk to them, they say the same thing. I don't know how to set a goal. And I'm willing to bet you that during the day, you probably set 20 or 30 goals for yourself. I want to go to lunch at 12 o'clock. That's a goal. Did you go to lunch at 12 o'clock? Yes, you did. Congratulations. You just achieved your goal. I want to leave at 5:30. Did you leave at 5:30 or did you leave at 5:45? If you left at 5:30, congratulations. You achieved your goal. I always tell everybody, and I've done this when I do public speaking, before my feet hit the floor every morning when I get out of bed, I've already achieved the goal that I've set for myself for that day. Every night when I go to bed, I set a goal that I want to wake up in the morning. Now, if I wake up in the morning, congratulations, Jim, you just achieved your first goal. If I don't wake up in the morning, I might have some other things to worry about. But the biggest thing is I'm already starting my day knowing I've accomplished the first thing I set out to do. I wanted to wake up. I did. Now it's time to go get the rest of the world. So that's just a simplification, a very, very simplified view of how I look at goal setting. But it's something that everybody can do. Take the small victories, and then you build such confidence. You know, when I get out of bed in the morning, I'm like, there we go. First thing's done. Check. You know, what's next? You know, so that's – and I was – another goal is to, before I leave the house, check all the overnight emails. Did any orders come in? Is there any problems that have cropped up that I need to address so that by the time I get to work, I've already been formulating a plan on how I'm going to fix it. Now, business success isn't just a matter of a healthy bank account. Think about what you want to accomplish. No matter how outlandish it seems, at first, thought and set your specific goals accordingly. Think of Elon Musk, for instance, and his goal of establishing a human settlement on Mars. It seems outlandish now, but he's set the goals and is working towards it. Writing down a vision statement will help set yourself up for long-term success, but you have to constantly revisit that vision statement to re-energize or to refocus yourself. A goal doesn't have to be sweeping to be valuable. Small goals are worth working on, too, because they can lead to big changes. For instance, 1 minute from now, I will work 3 hours less a week by becoming better organized is a perfectly acceptable and specific goal. Use the same specific goal-setting formula in all of your business planning, and you'll quickly see an increase in the number of goals you accomplish and achieve more success. I use a whiteboard at work. It's small. It's about like that big. And what I do is I write, this is what I want to accomplish tomorrow, and I'll just write out 10, 15 things. And there is no better feeling to me than when I start my work day the next day, and I'm just taking my finger and, oh, that's done. That's done. That's done. All right, so I've accomplished 1, 3, 7. Let's go back and hit 2. Let's go back and hit 4. So that's another way of being able to be measured. You can do it on a scratch pad or anything else as well. So what I want you to do over the next week is to practice setting specific goals by determining how you want your work schedule to be different, say, 1 month from now. If you can adjust your work schedule. Now, if you work for yourself, you work from home, you know, I see my wife do it all the time. She's down at the computer at 7 in the morning, and when I come in the house at 6 o'clock at night, she's still on. Does she need to be on the computer 11 hours a day? Or could she be setting goals saying, I'm going to turn off that computer at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've got to get all my work done in those 9 hours, and that's that. How can you make your work-life balance better? Then look back over your weekly activity record from week one and evaluate your work schedule. Are there activities that you feel you spend too much time on, activities that aren't there because you didn't have time to do them? These are important clues to possible changes you might want to make to improve your business success. Think about what business success truly means to you and what you hope to achieve 4 weeks from now. And then write down two specific goals following the formula that I talked about earlier, starting with 1 month from now, I will, and then filling in the blank. And you can create more than two goals if you wish, but if you do, choose only two of the specific goals that you've created to focus on over the next 4 weeks. Too many goals will be distracting, and that's, I've told you that story a million times where when you go to these seminars and someone lays out 10, 15, 20 action plans and you sit there and go, wow, I got to get all this done on Monday, and you're like, you don't get anything done. Pick one. Prioritize the ones you want to do. You can either asterisk them, put a check mark next to them, maybe even use a numbering system as far as the priorities. Then go after them one by one by one until you've mastered them. And you'll find that if you get to the 15th or 20th change, that's when you start to see this wild change in both your behavior and your work habits that'll make a big difference in how you how you work and the success that you achieve. So that's the big thing on goal setting. And I think that for the rest of this year, and here we are in the middle of July, I talked about it last week, how you have to have goals for the rest of the year. And in January, we're going to do another reset like we do every year on the program. What are your goals for next year? And I think a lot of people's, it's strange, but a lot of people's goals for this year is, I just want to get through the year. That's okay. That's a good enough goal. And I can't tell you how many businesses, we had a meeting the other day online where we found out that 20% of the trophy stores in America have gone out of business. So there's a lot of people in our industry that are saying, I just want to get to the end of this year. I want to survive. And that's okay. And if you do, good for you. We're coming back into the fall, we should have a full sports schedule. We should have a full school schedule. So hopefully awards come bouncing back. And then if we get into the springtime and the same thing happens, then we should be back into our pre-COVID levels. So that's the type of goal setting to have. It's okay to keep it small and say, I just want to survive, but it's okay to also say, I'm going to kick ass and do even more. And I'm going to grow my business even with just 5.5 months left. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a story about the restaurant I went to dinner at last night and the conversation I had with its owner. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
New jobless claims are down, hitting their lowest level since early March of 2020, as the pandemic was shutting down the economy. The Labor Department reporting 360,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. That number is still higher than most analysts were expecting. The number, however, is a drop from the previous week's revised total of 386,000. More protests in southern and central Florida on Wednesday in support of the Cuban people and against the current communist regime. It was the fourth straight day of demonstrations, with many roads getting blocked off in Miami's Little Havana neighborhood. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez saying he's hoping for change on the island nation.
There's nothing to be rejoiceful for right now, unfortunately. The only thing there is their hope that this moment becomes something bigger.
USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio. Did you know this station, this network, is looking for their next rockstar broadcaster? That's right, we are. And it could be you. It could be you interviewing the guests, talking to the newsmakers right in the middle of everything. Have you ever dreamed of being a rockstar show host? Now could be your chance. Together with this station, we'll help you with everything you need. The studios, the equipment, your own producer, a co-host if you'd like, and so much more. Broadcasting is changing. There's never been a need for fresh voices and unique opinions like there is right now. You can do this. Our professional team will guide you every step of the way. Sound effects, show content, building your social network media, and everything you need to be the next rockstar broadcaster. Get all the details. Email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. To get started with your own show, email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. Don't wait. You could be the next voice for America. Email Bill at rockstar.today.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB, on our Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and on my personal page, Jim Gano, as well. Glad you could join me as we get together every Thursday at this time to talk about issues that affect businesses large and small, both here in Flemington and beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. So I went to dinner last night out at the Stanton Italian Table, which is in Stanton, obviously, good location for it if you're going to call it that. And we were talking with the owner, and I was with seven other people. So my wife and her cousin, her husband, and my brother-in-laws and their spouse. So, and we were talking with the owner at the end of the night, and we were probably the last people there. We're kind of known for being the last people in many restaurants. And so he came over, and it was almost like an interview session for Taking Care of Business, because I was asking him how business was. And, you know, he had posted a few weeks ago that because of the shortage of help, that he's had to reduce his menu. He's had to reduce his hours. He's had to close, I think, one night a week. And so we started talking about it, and I was like, what's prompting it? And he goes, yes, I'm the owner. I'm a chef. I love cooking and all that stuff, but there's a lot of other things I need to do. And, you know, he doesn't buy breaded or frozen breaded chicken cutlets or something like that. He makes them fresh. All the food is fresher. It's a great restaurant, excellent food. And it's a BYOB, but he said that, you know, now he has a lot of time where he's got to work on prep. He's the only cook in the kitchen. So if it's a busy night and he has indoor dining as well as outdoor dining, you know, he's hopping. So he had to reduce his menu into the items that he knew people liked and that he knew would sell and that he could prepare rather easily. And as I looked at the menu, not that I'm any great chef, but I did realize these are easy dishes. Chicken parmesan, you know, veal marsala, these are easy dishes to prepare. It's not like we're going, you know, Bobby Flay, Gordon Ramsay, or anything like that. But they're also very tasty and very good meals. So he's had to reduce his menu to accommodate the shortage in staff because he just doesn't have enough help. A sous chef, a prep cook, you know, would help him tremendously. Can't find them. He's had to reduce his hours of operation because, again, there's just not enough people that are working there. He said that he's really nervous because in a couple of weeks, all of his college kids, and one of the college kids was waiting on us, are going to go back to school. So he's going to have another staffing shortage. I said, okay, so in September, when everybody comes off unemployment, do you think it'll get better? He says, no. So what he's done over the past several months is called some of his colleagues, people who have been chefs or sous chefs or have been experienced waiters, and called them and tried to recruit them to come work for him. And they're all saying, no, I got a good thing going on now. You know, I'm a prime delivery driver for Amazon, or I'm working at the warehouse in Amazon. I now have benefits. I'm getting paid $22 to $25 an hour. And he said that he just couldn't compete with those type of wages. So we either have a tremendous problem coming up in the restaurant industry, which could force other restaurants to close or scale back their operations, Or we may hit a reset button in September where people start going back to work. I don't know the answer to this one yet, and it's puzzling to me, and it's bothersome to me, because I want to say that of the 9.2 million jobs that are available in the United States, that many of them will be filled come September when people get off unemployment. My concern is that people who come off unemployment may not return to the job they once had, which is going to lead to a lot of unhappy people. But why should your boss hold the position for you because you're sitting on the couch? Because they need help now. You know, if this gentleman were to find somebody, train them as a sous chef, they were going to stay on after, you know, everybody goes back to college. He now has a foundation where he can, continue the restaurant, and then say a previous sous chef comes back and says, I want my job back. Would he hire him? Should he hire him? In my mind, no, you move on. You put your business first. I like to be loyal to my employees, and I hope they're loyal to me, and many of them have proven that over the years that they are. But in the same respect, when I need help, and I need it now, I have to go with those who are willing to work. And if you're not willing to work, you're not getting the money that they're making. So that's another push-me-pull-you situation. So I'm hoping that Stanton Italian Table can find the staff they're looking for. If you are looking for work, if your children are looking for work, have them give them a call. There's good work there for till the end of the summer, and then obviously beyond. But it's a great restaurant, and I'd hate to see it, close up shop simply because they couldn't get enough people to work for them. So again, Stanton Italian Table in Stanton, great food. I highly recommend it if you're looking for a place to go out to dinner. Always a good idea to get a reservation. And again, you can also choose whether you want to eat indoors or out. The next topic that I want to talk about is one that a lot of people have been bringing up, particularly if they've been working from home for the last 16, 18 months, and those that are just coming back into work. It's hitting them even faster, and that is job burnout. Now, if you suddenly have one of your top employees that's just not acting like themselves, or you notice a change in their quality of work and a general indifference toward their job, could it be job burnout? We're going to talk about some of the common warning signs of burnout, as well as how to help prevent and respond to it. So the warning signs you need to look out for, according to the International Classification of Diseases, or the ICD-11, defines occupational burnout as a syndrome resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. The ICD-11 classifies it as an occupational phenomenon rather than as a medical condition with three characteristics. One, feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion. Two, increased mental distance or feelings of cynicism. And three, reduced professional efficacy. Now, when you talk about energy depletion, exhaustion, employees may express that they always feel tired. You may even notice that they even look more tired. They may complain about difficulty sleeping or the dread they feel coming to work. As far as increased mental distancing or cynicism, employees suffering burnout may have more friction with coworkers and clients and come across as being irritable or impatient with them. The employee may be complaining a lot more than usual and expressing negativity more frequently. They may start to distance themselves from lunches with coworkers and after-work activities that they typically attended in the past. And the reduced professional efficacy, top-performing employees who are suffering burnout may start being less productive or produce lower quality work. Now, while some small fluctuations in work can be normal, you may notice a more significant decline in their work, even though they're putting in about the same or more hours. So what actions should you take to kind of like nip this in the butt, head it off at the pass kind of thing? The first is you need to be proactive. You can help reduce burnout as a manager, supervisor, employer, owner, by providing a positive, equitable, and supportive work environment. So you need to consider the following. Can you look for ways to promote employee engagement, such as creating an effective employee recognition program, offering flexible work arrangements to help balance work and life responsibilities, giving employees autonomy in how they complete tasks, planning morale-boosting activities, and providing career development activities or opportunities. You can encourage employees to use their earned time off. For example, some employers put a reasonable cap on how much vacation an employee can accrue before they actually have to use it. In this case, employees have to use some of their time in order to earn any additional time. In states that permit use-it-or-lose-it policies, employers may encourage the use of limiting the number of days that can be carried over into the next year. You also want to clearly communicate the workplace rules and procedures so that employees know exactly what's expected of them. Confirm expectations when setting performance goals and provide employees with feedback on a regular basis. And administer employee surveys and conduct exit interviews with departing employees to help assess employee satisfaction and engagement. And this will allow you to course correct if needed. That last one, the exit interview, is huge, and it's kind of a double-edged sword. Sometimes you'll get an employee who will be very forthright, very honest, and tell you exactly why they're leaving, and it's not always about money, but when they reference the stress, the workload, how they know that other people are getting paid more than they are, it's not equitable. These are action steps that you can take. How can you reduce that department's stress? How can you reduce the workload? And if there is wage inequality, how do you address that? Whether it's between male and female, or female-female, or male-male, what makes one person have more value than another? And so you want to make sure that if you hear something in one of these exit interviews, you're not just checking off the boxes. And that is a term that will get you in a ton of trouble with me. If you say to me, oh, I'm just checking off the boxes, I can't stand that, because this is your business. This is your company. How can you make it better? I end the show every week with advice from my father. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. And it's the same thing here. If you have an opportunity to better a particular department, work group, or division in your company simply by making some changes that will make it a better place to work, then do it. Don't just sit there and say they're leaving because they got a new job, they're leaving because they got a better salary. Don't check the boxes. Work on how you can create it that you don't have to check any boxes because your staff is happy. You also don't want to make any assumptions in this process. Now, if you notice any changes to an employee's work performance or attitude, don't assume that you automatically know the cause. Now, while all the warning signs I mentioned earlier could reflect the employee's experienced burnout, it could also mean there's something else going on. For example, an employee is being subjected to harassment. It's possible they would exhibit some of the same behaviors, such as withdrawing from company activities. So you want to meet with the employee. And if an employee isn't meeting performance or conduct expectations or is violating company policies, then again, address that situation promptly. Meet with the employee in private, express your appreciation for their contributions, but be straightforward. Let them know what you've noticed, that you've noticed a change in their performance and their attitude, and give specific examples, preferably with like date and time as well. And explain that you're trying to help the employee improve and give them an opportunity to respond. If they reveal symptoms of burnout, offer company resources that may help, such as an employer assistance program, and help them develop a plan for improving. Confirm that the employee has fully understood the expectations for improvement and have them acknowledge this discussion in writing. And then retain a copy for their folder, their employee folder. Another thing to be careful of when we say don't make assumptions is dig a little deeper. It's not just about what's happening in the workplace. What's happening at home that could also be affecting how they work? A person who is going through a divorce, a person who's in a bad relationship, a person who's taking care of an ill parent or an ill child. These are all weighty factors that, they're going to bring to the workplace with them. And very few people can just shut it off and say, mom's sick, but I got to go to work. It's always on the back of your mind. So consider their other obligations, especially if the employee shares during your meeting that can trigger these other obligations. If they reveal they have a disability, such as depression, you may be required to provide the employee with a reasonable accommodation, or if the employee tells you that workplace misconduct has impacted their performance and attitude, or if, again, they're caring for an ill parent or child, are there accommodations you can make that will ease their burden? You also want to follow up. After you have both discussed the problem and come up with some kind of a solution, schedule a follow-up meeting with the employee to see how they're doing. If their performance or behavior hasn't improved, further action could be necessary. Make sure you're taking the steps to help address and prevent job burnout. You may also want to consider changes in their work environment. Again, if you're taking care of a sick parent or you have people coming in home health aides and it's expensive, well, maybe if they were able to work from home 2 days a week, it would reduce the cost by 40%. So, again, another good story, things you have to be looking out for as an employer. And if you take care of your employees, I've always said this, if you take care of your employees will take care of you. It's usually a give back. If you don't, if you just treat it like a job and you're just like thankful they showed up at 8:30 and left at 4:30 and you got what you got out of them, they're going to reflect that in their performance. Another question that came up this week was, where should I start networking online? Now, with COVID, I think for a while, all networking ended. LinkedIn was pretty active during COVID, but trade shows stopped, business expos stopped, seminars, unless you were doing them online, stopped. And so now people are saying, well, how can I get that train back on the track and start networking in line? So I'm going to give you, I think, four or five that I think are the best ones to work with. Each has their own pros and cons, which I might get a little into. But there's many. I want you to start with social media because I think that's where you're going to find everybody. That's why they call it social. But there's many social media sites that you can join and basically do the same type of networking that you used to do in person. You can't physically be present, but you can make many friends and acquaintances through these social media sites. And the main ones that I have found to be most useful are very simply Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Now, after you've created a following, you can promote your business through these social sites. I prefer that if you're trying to network on a business level, on a professional level, that you create a separate page for that. And it's okay to include business items on your personal page, but you always want to tell people, hey, don't forget to like my business page. Don't forget to like my business page. It's the same thing here. You know, when you if you become a friend of mine on Facebook, I'm going to tell you, hey, don't forget, like and follow my radio show page. And, you know, spread that. I always use the term cast a wide net. So, you know, like with Facebook, if you have your own personal page and you have a business page and you want to start networking there, then create a page. Keep in mind, this is where people fall off the edge of the cliff a lot of times. You can have as many pages as you want, but if you don't provide fresh new content, people will stop visiting your page. So a lot of times, and there's ways to do this, there's a great app called Hootsuite where I can take a picture of something. I just did a beautiful trophy or award for the Somerset Patriots commemorating their opening day this year. There were two home run balls. Obviously, it was the first season without owner Steve Califer there. And so we've created this beautiful award memento that kind of encapsulates that first night. We have the two home run balls. We have a plate that is specific to Steve. We have the Yankee logo, the Patriots logo. We have the box. We recreated the box score. It's a really sharp piece. And then all of the uniforms this year have an embroidered SK for Steve Califer on them. And, you know, we included one of those patches in there as well. So once I get permission from the Patriots, they're going to pick that award up this afternoon. Once I get permission, I'm going to be blasting that out on social media. It'll go on my personal page, my Crown Trophy page, Signs by Crown, Taking Care of Business. All of my pages are going to see this award. I may even put it on some pages that are applicable to Hunterdon County or Somerset County because so many people knew Steve. But I want to show people, hey, this is what we can do. And so I'll be casting that broad net. But again, I can do it one time and have it go to all those pages using an app called Hootsuite. So again, after you've created a following, then you promote your business through those social sites, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. And again, with Facebook, you can join a local group in your own community, and you can also join groups that you want to work with for your market. Facebook is an excellent tool to use for networking. Facebook and LinkedIn are used primarily for business. However, on Facebook, it works best to make personal acquaintances first before you start promoting your business. on LinkedIn, you can promote your business from day one. You don't have to get acquainted on a personal level. The people that join LinkedIn are there to network for business, and they are looking for connections for their business. They also have they have tons of groups, whether it's alumni groups from the university you attended or groups specific to your industry or your interests. Search the groups and find them. And if you know that there's a particular person in your industry who's a thought leader, a key opinion leader that you want to get to know, or you want them to know of you, then search them out. Try to connect with them on those platforms, particularly on LinkedIn. With Pinterest, you pin pictures up on boards and link it to your offers, or you link it to Facebook or a website. Creating pictures for me is not always easy, but if you have pictures of your products, that is what you would want to work with. Show your work and then link the pictures back to your offer, whether you're offering a discount or you just want to redirect them to your website. That's a great place to do it. Networking opportunities are everywhere, online and offline. Always carry your business cards and let everyone know that you are in business, what you do, and most importantly, what you can do for them. Give your friends and family members several business cards and ask them to give them to their acquaintances. Everyone that you meet must know what you do and what you have to offer, both online and offline. And it would be great if we had an interactive poll here, but you know, the three W's in business that I've said for the last 10 years, people have to know who you are, where you are, and what you do. Same applies on social media. The same applies whether just doing regular advertising. You want to make sure that people know those three things about you. So very key as we continue on and get closer towards the end of the year. I'm starting to see I'm starting to see trade shows coming back, seminars coming back, large gatherings of people. I was supposed to be at one this week, but with the knee surgery, I opted out up in the Meadowlands, which is geared towards sign businesses and apparel businesses. I'll probably end up going again next year. But now those trade shows are coming back. So if you're a vendor, do you have your take-home items, your giveaway items already ordered, ready to hand out? Again, if you're doing something like that, make them useful. A woman came into my store the other day, and she was like, "I need promotional items. I'm opening up a new dance studio," and she's had dance studio for 12 years, but she's opening up a new one with her daughter. And I said, "Whatever you do, just if you're going to order anything with your logo on it, make it useful. Something that's going to stay in front of people, whether it's a calendar, a pen, microfiber cleaners, anything, whatever you're going to use, make it something useful." I said, and I guarantee you one thing, if you come in here and you say, "I want to order 100 stress balls," I'm going to tell you I won't sell them to you because they are the biggest waste of money out there. So, she took a chuckle at that and she goes, "You're right." She goes, "I probably have 10 stress balls in a junk drawer in my kitchen." And I go, "Are they doing that business any good in your junk drawer?" So you want to make sure that whatever you're doing is promoting your business. It's a quality product, and it's going to be something that people will use often. We talk about impressions and how many times people look at things. On average, a person will look at their calendar 12 times per day. If you multiply that by 365, it equates out to like 4,100 times per year that a person is looking at their calendar. Now, if your name is on that calendar, your name, your address, your phone number, your website, that's 4,100 times that somebody would be reminded about you and your business. And all we're trying to do with promotional items or anything else is create that front of mind presence. You know, you may not need me now, but if you need my products in 3 months, I want you to think of me first. And the same thing can be said for an insurance agent, for a plumber, an electrician, could even be said for a doctor. I may not need a doctor today, but when I do, let's say I'm pick an ailment. I'm having migraines. If there's a doctor out there that says I specialize in migraine treatment, or I'm a neurologist that specializes in all kinds of traumatic brain injury and migraines or something like that, keeping that message out there. Why do you think so many lawyers advertise as much as they do? Because you may not need a lawyer today, but when you do, if I were to ask you right now, name me three law firms, you know, you'd probably be able to come up with three like that. You're going to say Jacoby and Myers, Levinson Axelrod, Morgan and Morgan, because you see these on your television screen every night. You may not have any idea what mesothelioma is right now, but if you're diagnosed with it in 2 years, who are you going to call? You know, you're going to find somebody who has been advertising this for the past 10 years. So again, who you are, where you are, what you do, that's key, and making sure that whatever you do is useful. Getting close to the end of the show. Again, next week, I'll be hopefully broadcasting from home. I'll get to Chris early. It's going to, next week in particular, the next 2 weeks, I'll get with Chris and let you know whether I'm going to be doing a show. I have to check my schedule. They tell me I have to keep moving because of the knee replacement surgery. So if that's the case and I can't sit still for an hour, then we'll come up with a plan B. But if we can get the show recorded and get it to Chris so that he can air it, then we will do that as well. Again, thank everybody who's been wishing me good luck both today on the Facebook feed and via text messaging and everything else. It's not my first rodeo. We've had plenty of knee surgeries. It's just going to be the hardest one, and we'll get through it. So appreciate you listening in today, and look forward to getting back with you both in the studio or via the home studio next week, and hopefully we'll be able to bring you more content. And again, if you have any topics you want me to talk about, get those to me so that I can do the research and bring you content that is worthwhile to you. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden says monthly payments under the expanded child tax credit will start going out today. Speaking at the White House, Biden calls this another giant step toward ending child poverty. Biden saying the money being sent out is historic in what it will do for the economy.
I believe this is actually a historic day. Historic day in the sense that we continue to build an economy that respects and recognizes the dignity working class families.
The tax credits of either $300 or $250 will roughly go to 39 million households, and that will happen on the 15th of every month automatically. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is not a fan of the latest spending plan put forth by Democrats. The Kentucky Republican saying the country is already dealing with inflation and a $3.5 trillion budget is completely inappropriate. USA Radio News.
America's military is under attack from the woke, anti-Christian far left. Even our top generals are ignoring the threat. Now, Grant Stinchfield exposes the real dangers. Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax. Stinchfield and Newsmax are telling you the truth about the far left's real agenda and Joe Biden's policies. That's why millions are tuning into Stinchfield and Newsmax. And Newsmax is the only major news network carrying President Trump's rallies live. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them, tell them you want it, or you can switch. Watch Newsmax on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Plus, download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching now. Newsmax has become one of America's biggest news networks, as Americans like you switch to a trusted news source. Every weeknight, watch great shows with Grant Stinchfield, Greg Kelly, Cortez and Pellegrino, Rob Schmidt, and a lot more. Newsmax is real news. Watch it.
The state of Texas is dealing with a stalled special legislative session, a surge of illegal immigrants crossing the border, and rising coronavirus numbers. Republican Senator from Texas Ted Cruz is blaming the surge at the border for the increase in COVID cases.
Most of these illegal immigrants coming in haven't been vaccinated. They're being put in cages with other people who are COVID positive. They're spreading COVID and then releasing COVID in our communities.
Cuban-American rapper and pop star Pitbull is calling for the world to support anti-communism protesters in Cuba.
People that we're so proud of, people such as a Jeff Bezos, Cuban-American, graduated from a high school in Miami, built one of the biggest companies in the world, the richest man in the world. He's somebody that can get involved and really help us on what we got. All we can do is create awareness.
Pitbull posting a two-minute video on Wednesday that he called a message to the world. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Look, bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. The new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, if you say help me, I'll mow you down.
3 hours a day, 7 days a week of the greatest radio shows of all time. Classic radio theater. Available on many of these radio stations.